Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
World of Secrets, Season 4. Al Fayed, Predator at Harrods.
Cash, with that you can control people.
Nothing comes for free.
Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Oh, someone's giving out sweets. Is that because your wish has come true in the past?
Dileğiniz mi yerine gelmişti?
Evet. Annemler ev araba dilemişlerdi, onlar yerine geldi.
Özait family had wished for a car and a house.
Ne kadar doldu?
And this lady asked how long it took.
Geçen sene 1 Mayıs'ta gelmiştik.
So he explains it was a year and now she's like quite hopeful that her wishes will come true.
Bir yıl oldu, evet.
Allah ne mutlu.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Emily Wither, and this is Heart and Soul, exploring personal approaches to spirituality from around the world. I'm in Turkey, in Europe's largest city, Istanbul, a place that me, my producer Zeynep Bilginsoy, and over 16 million people call home. It's the first day of the month, and we're at the Church of the Virgin Mary.
It's quite an incredible scene. There is this enormous line, mostly of women, that stretches all the way up the hill. It runs for about a kilometre. People just waiting to get into a small door in the wall. You couldn't even tell it was a church.
I ask why it's mostly women here, and I'm told men think in rational ways, while women are more sensitive and spiritual. There's a feeling of excitement and joy in the air as people pack the sidewalk and spill into the narrow road, preparing to share their wishes and woes. Across the road, in the shade of a large umbrella, a mother from Azerbaijan feeds her 15-day-old baby, a wish that came true. She's here to return her key. That's the tradition. You take a key as you make a wish, and if it comes true, you then return it so it can be passed on to someone else for good luck. Next to her is Fekriye. She's wearing a white flowery headscarf. She's waiting for her daughter in the line, who's returning a key too. It's their third time here.
And what have you wished for each time that you've come?
Evlenmek için dedim, inşallah.
She wished to get married and inshallah she's going to be engaged soon.
Her daughter?
Yes.
Oh, that's great news. Congratulations to your daughter. Can you explain to us what's the belief behind all of this?
She explains that she's Muslim, but a wish is a wish, and this is a house of worship, and her wishes have come true.
But why would you come to a church to make your wish and not a mosque?
Ama tutuyor dediler, hakikaten tuttu.
Fikriye says she goes to the mosque and she prays.
Namazımı da kılıyorum. Allah'ıma.
But she's been told that wishes come true in this church, and it's a fact, her wishes did come true. So it's one God. This shows that it's not about being non-Muslim or Muslim, but coming together in one space.
Mühim olan bu.
Fikriye explains that there is no point in separating people.
We're right on the side of the road and, you know, trucks and cars still have to get past and they're really struggling because there are so many people queuing up, blocking the road.
The church is tucked away in one of the city's oldest neighbourhoods, Fatih. Ask a local and they'll tell you it's called the First Day of the Month Church because that's when it's open to the public. It's really not much to look at, but it's the water that lies beneath it that attracts hundreds of people here. This Greek Orthodox shrine is the site of an ancient spring that flows beneath the underground Byzantine chapel here. The water is believed to have miraculous and spiritual powers. Centuries of civilization has left Istanbul dotted with revered sites like this one, tombs and shrines of religious and historical figures. Formerly Constantinople, the city was considered to be the cradle of Orthodox Christian civilization. It was also once the center of the Islamic world during the Ottoman Empire. Today, shrines play an important role in the spiritual life of this city.
Istanbul's culture is one that thrives on stories, on mythology and folklore in general. That dates back to the Roman times, especially the Byzantine and the Ottoman times, and even nowadays.
Father Hieronymus Soteriellis is a deacon at the Ecumenical Patriarchate, the custodians of Greek Orthodox sites in Istanbul.
You have this kind of understanding of specific locations in the city whose history even evolves, continuously evolves, and yet it becomes even more beloved by the citizens of Istanbul. You'll see that there's a kind of spirituality here that is not one person's alone. It really belongs to everyone. You can't help but see this as a true crossroad of the world, where religions, cultures, languages interconnect.
Pilgrims of many different faiths and beliefs visit these shrines to ask for something, usually to do with love. Though, as you can imagine, people can be a little shy to say so, and most will tell you it's bad luck to share. There's even a man walking up and down the line warning people not to tell anyone else what your heart desires and explaining that you'll take a key per wish once inside. Also in line is painter and art teacher Betul Merkan, who's from Istanbul. Like many here, she's gotten dressed up for the occasion, in a white striped dress and bright blue glasses. She has the air of someone who lives and loves wholeheartedly. She tells us she first found this place when she was struggling with big changes in her life, including a marriage proposal that didn't work out.
That relationship was already over. And after I came to Istanbul, my routine improved. Coming here across the Bosphorus, making it a destination and setting this goal, and then returning home was nice and helped me collect myself. I used to make wishes back then, and one or two came true. But these days I think I shouldn't ask for much, because there's so many people here. Let there be health, close friends around me, and that's enough. Everything else will be fine when you work for it. I used to come here a lot, but I hadn't been in 5 years, and this year I made the intention to come back, as if something was calling me here.
What is it that keeps bringing you back here? I mean, it's quite hard to stand in a hot sun like this for hours. You know, is it worth it?
After I came to the city, I was feeling depressed. My friend told me about this place she had come to, so I tried it, and it made me feel really good. I love these symbolic places in Istanbul, and it's something beyond a church. I feel drawn to older, ancient beliefs, and I think this place is just like that. And I like Jesus, he's a special man. I'm all for any belief as long as it doesn't contain violence. Something just pulls me here. After I come, I feel great. I recover. I used to come every week. As you know, you take a key and you return it when your wish happens. But all the keys accumulated at home and I lost some. So now I come only to light a candle. But it makes me feel good.
You say this place makes you happy. What is it about being here that makes you feel something?
I feel a physical energy here. People are really sweet here, right? You share something, and no matter what religion you're from, you meet on common ground. That's really nice. Other than that, in terms of the location, I feel this energy. I think it's a spiritual thing. You know how people differentiate between the physical world and beyond the physical world? I don't differentiate between the two, and I think of the world as a whole. I do think some things release energy. These energies make us feel good, and I think there's something here, like many places in Istanbul.
So you say that you're not going in there to pray and ask for anything specific, but a lot of people in this line are. Is there something transactional about this, or do you think it's a bit more than that?
Yes, to me it does feel transactional. Like shopping. That's the right word. But it's all innocent things. I don't think we can question the ethics because it's sweet, childish things. You also wish for things that are going well to continue to go well. Or if there's some evil eye on you and some negative energy, for it to go away. It's like this place cleanses you. I think it's all about the relationship between the person and the creator, no matter what you want to call or define it as. I feel like strict definitions take us away from the universe, from spirituality. But I feel there must be a ritual. That's how I felt during my parents' funeral. Without the ritual, I felt as if I was only partially present. Like half of me was missing. Rituals are great, but I think we shouldn't lose authenticity. We shouldn't act in just one way. The things I feel about God or the Creator are beautiful. I believe.
Towards the front of the line, we get chatting to Sevda. She's here to make a wish for someone else.
Yeğenim üniversite sınavına girecek, onun için dilek dilemeye geldim.
She says she's here to wish her nephew good grades in his university exam. She has smiling eyes and her head is covered from the hot sun. She's been here 5 times before. What have you wished for in the past?
Ev diledim.
I wished for a house. It happened. I wished for a car. It happened. I wished for a document for my work. I'm a certified public accountant and I wanted to become an independent auditor. So I wished for that document and that happened. But there are of course wishes that haven't come true as well.
She tells us how she likes to practice her faith and the different places she visits to worship.
I'm normally a Muslim, but I'm a deist technically. On other religions. For example, I go to the church in Taksim on Mother's Day for Mary and her pain. They told me about St. George Church nearby, where you're supposed to go on April 23rd, but I missed that this time. I go to the Church of Virgin Mary in Kuşadası when I go there. So I enter all places of worship when I see them, recite a prayer, light a candle. I like doing this. This is about respecting everyone. I respect their language and I would be happy if they came to my mosque and prayed. Or I'd be happy for all of us to pray in a synagogue. As I said, God's language is one. He prays like this, I pray like that, you pray like this. It doesn't matter where God is. It matters that you want to pray to him whenever you are on God's path.
And what is it about Turkish society that leads to women going to wish for things?
We were shamans before our ancestors converted to Islam. Shamanism has many similar rituals. In shamanism, there are many rituals like tying something or keys in a church. Our ancestors were shaman. Our foundations are shaman. And then we became Muslims later, and that has divided us into different groups within Islam.
It was so nice to meet you. Çok memnun oldum.
Ben de çok memnun oldum. Kendinize iyi bakın. Gele gelin. Ayın birinde görüşmek üzere.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on the BBC World Service.
Money talks, and it gave him the power to manipulate people.
This is a story of power and control at the very top of British society.
He seemed like he really cared for me, wanted to look after me, almost in a fatherly way.
How Mohammed Al-Fayed, then owner of the luxury department store Harrods, groomed, isolated and attacked young women who worked for him.
He had done this for so long.
And now they refuse to be silenced.
I would have to enter his private office on my own. That's where things would start to happen.
World of Secrets, Season 4. Al-Fayed, Predator at Harrods. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
We're in Istanbul, hearing about how people inside this sprawling metropolis offload their worries and wishes at one of the many shrines across the city. We've come to one of them, a holy spring that's believed to grant miracles. So we finally made it to the front of the line and we're just heading into the complex through a small door in the wall, and it's opened up to a really peaceful courtyard full of plants and flowers and shaded by fruit trees. As we wait to get into the church itself, I speak to an American Russian called Masha Vapnechnya. She now calls Istanbul home. She's tall, elegant, and has long blonde hair. She's wearing one of the gold keys around her neck. When was the first time that you came to this church?
I came here exactly 7 years ago to the day. I was in a really bad place. I would say I was in like a full-on breakdown, a woman in crisis. And at that point, I was just grasping at anything to make me feel better, finding meaning in poetry or feathers that I find on the road or rainbows or anything. And one of the things in that kind of manic state that I came to was this church. I found out about this church literally on the 1st of August and decided that I need to come here. So I came here. I did all the rituals that you're supposed to do with the key, turning it in the icons. I went down to where the sacred water is in the well and sprinkled it on myself. I maybe took giant handfuls of it. It was a dark time. And I didn't really feel it thoroughly, I would say. It was just a drowning person looking to grab onto something. And when I came back the second time around, it was much different.
In what way was it different?
It was purposeful. I chose to come here not because I was looking for something or because I was desperate. And I actually this time didn't do all the rituals that you're supposed to do. I just kind of soaked in the environment and the other people, and they came into this garden of the church and sat here and really thought about what it is that I want and how I could formulate all that I want into one wish.
And would you describe yourself as being religious in any way?
Definitely not religious. I grew up in an atheist country, atheist family in the Soviet Union. So God has always been something very foreign to me. And then the rituals around it have always also been foreign to me. I think I'm definitely, though I hate this word, spiritual. You know, I believe that we are here to love and that we are love and that we return to love. And in the right circumstances, church does coincide with that. So I kind of pick and choose what I want from religious experiences. This is the key that I got from this church 3 months ago. And I made my wish, and it's a very tall order. I don't expect it to come true anytime soon, but I think the point for me with this is to remember where I'm heading and where I'm going rather than the thing itself that I get. So I wear it around my neck on a chain.
So do you rub the key at particular parts of the day or?
Just whenever I feel like there's a lack, when I need to take a minute to react better and when I can catch myself, that's when I rub it.
While we're talking, Father Hieronymus Sotiri Ellis, the deacon at the Ecumenical Patriarchate, who you heard from earlier, comes over to say hello and points out Masha's necklace.
Notice on the cross, on the key itself, you have an image of the cross.
Yeah.
And so what you're actually wearing is a crucifix. Surrounding thing doesn't really matter. Now, in the tradition of the Orthodox Church, we equate the Virgin Mary with a cross. The reason is that both of them were, in a way, arcs that either carried our Lord into this life or into the next. And so they are very beautiful symbols of maybe the same thing, that is the grace of our Lord.
Masha is going inside now. This visit, she's planning to light a candle. Father Sotiri Ellis explains a service is underway to bless the water.
Although every church conducts the holy water blessing, usually on the first of every month, that people go and receive, it's not the same as going to a shrine, to a place where basically a sacred well, an ayiasma as we say, is present. Those are very few, and usually they are not linked to the churches. Rather, the churches have been built near those shrines, those sacred spots.
He says the original church was first destroyed after the capture of the Byzantine capital, marking the fall of Constantinople. Legend has it the materials were used to make nearby mosques for the Ottomans who took over. The space was then used for many years as a vegetable garden.
And then by a miraculous event, a young lady saw a vision pointing to the holy spring, in which she found the spring inside the garden. They also found an icon of the Dormition of the Virgin there at the Agiasma, which is why they rededicated it to the Virgin Mary, to the Dormition. I think that it is an excellent symbol of the harmony, the solidarity that can and should exist between peoples and religions. If we could, we should make every church, every mosque, every synagogue a similar center, a similar place where people can just gather together, knowing that they have different beliefs, knowing that they have different understandings of life in many ways, and yet coexisting. It's true that we live in a unique city here in Istanbul, one that that shares these cultural and religious events. It doesn't segregate, if you will.
He tells me this isn't a wishing well, and many people's hopes that come true are probably part of life's natural course, but that the spring has helped people.
You know, this is a very difficult thing to say nowadays, but I think we shouldn't be afraid to speak about these things when they are present. Many miracles have happened there. Now, if someone was unable to have children and went and received water, which has happened in the past, if someone had, there was a case of a young lady who had terrible eczema, received the water, and she was cured of her eczema. That being said, people might hear these things and say, without proof, how should I believe this? Well, you know, it's a matter of faith. We should strive to be open to these experiences. And it makes sense, of course, that so many people flock to the Agiasma because it's dedicated to a figure who is shared by both of us, by every culture, I believe, and two of the great monotheistic religions. In other words, Christianity doesn't have a monopoly on the Virgin Mary. We respect her in a different way. And so what we'll do now is descend down the stairs into the holy water fountain itself, the Agiasma, and see some of the sites that are specifically important for the veneration process, or the traditional process, if you will.
So we've just come down the stairs. It's really busy down here.
It's quite busy, yes. And so the first thing we see is this image of the Virgin Mary, her passing, which was actually discovered during the rediscovery of the holy water itself.
That very light tapping that you can hear is people taking their gold keys and turning them at various points on the many paintings of Orthodox icons that can be found dotted around the church. In the corner of the room, there is a man selling plastic bottles, and people are taking them to the holy spring and filling them up with some of the sacred water. Back in the courtyard, we say goodbye to Masha. She tells us the purpose of her visits.
It's like renewing your vows. It's just me showing up and saying, I'm still in this. I know the last couple of weeks I haven't been very loving, or I haven't been taking care of myself, or I've not been as engaged with the beauty of the world as I should be, but I'm still here. Don't give up on me.
And how does it make you feel to come here?
Super emotional, actually. Especially seeing how many people are here, how everybody shows up as their best. Like, if you look around, everyone is smiling, everyone is generous, everyone's willing to start conversations with people that they maybe wouldn't normally on the street, and it's really the best of us showing up here. So there's this really beautiful energy where we're not scared, where we're happy, where we feel safe, where there's trust, and I think that we just feed off of that, and I think that's what makes us the space sacred. You know, I think that, like, the reason this space is sacred is because of the people that show up and how they show up here.
How do you think coming here has helped you?
I think it's made me more present more often. So whenever I am reminded of this experience or just think of it, it's a reminder to stop whatever chaos is going on in my head, whatever thought loop I'm stuck in, to let it go. So it helps to remind me where I'm going. So this is exactly why I have any spirituality in me at all. This is it for me. If I had to leave one legacy or like one thought written on my tombstone, it would be like, we're all connected. We're all here to love. We're all here to feel safe and to be hopeful. And this is the embodiment of that. It's absolutely it.
Hangi sınava? Ondan sonra.
YKS. Üniversite sınavı.
On the way out, we speak to a group of teenagers who heard about this place online. They're making a wish for their university exams.
Gelmedim, TikTok'tan duydum. Sonra dedim ki deneyeyim.
TikTok'tan?
Evet.
You heard about it on TikTok.
Ne vardı?
İlkem is 16 years old. She's a Muslim and often visits the mosque to pray, but says she goes to churches too and lights candles.
Farklı dinlere de inanıyorum.
İlkem's family thinks that she should be focused on her own religion, but because she believes that all these religions worship the same God and the basis of these religions is all love, she believes in all of it. İlkem saw videos about churches and shrines, so she's going to go to a shrine afterwards.
Which shrine are you going to go to?
Adı neydi?
Tokari.
Aynen. Tokari Türbesi.
A lady standing next to İlkem joins in and tells us about the next stop of the day. They're heading to one of the most important spiritual spots in Istanbul, a tomb around the corner of a famous Sufi teacher.
Yani o şey farklı değil. Ne olursa.
İrem, who's in the line with us, says it's not really the religion of the location that's important. She says our prophet accepts all the other prophets, accepts all the other religions, and accepts all the other holy books. So she thinks it's the space, it's the energy, that's what's important.
A day of shrine hopping, where the city's folklore and history is remembered through mystical practices, weaved together by the foundations of its faith. This edition of Heart and Soul was produced and presented by me, Emily Wither, with Zeynep Bilginsoy. The editor was Rajiv Gupta.
Money talks, and it gave him the power to manipulate people.
This is a story of power and control at the very top of British society.
It seemed like he really cared for me, wanted to look after me, almost in a fatherly way.
How Mohammed Al-Fayed, then owner of the luxury department store Harrods, groomed, isolated, and attacked young women who worked for him.
He had done this for so long.
And now, they refuse to be silenced.
I would have to enter his private office on my own. That's where things would start to happen.
World of Secrets, Season 4. Al-Fayed, Predator at Harrods. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.